Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. and the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Kings 13. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Kings 13. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 17 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Haziel, all their days. And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel because the king of Syria oppressed them. And the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein, and there remained the grove also in Samaria. And neither did he leave of the people to Jehoahaz but 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them, and it made them like the dust by threshing. And now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz, and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Joash his son reigned in his stead. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 16 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. And now the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, and his might, wherewith he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne. And Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And now Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, a smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was led down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. But Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect unto them, because of his covenant with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad his son reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. To be remembered in prayer, Reverend A.T. Heiser, who has declined for the call from our congregation, Mr. John Kraft, who remains in the hospital in Calgary, and two attempts to open a liver duct were not successful. Mrs. Chelsea Cupiris, who was given to return to her home after successful heart surgery. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. A merciful Lord, the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and the earth, then it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our children a second Lord's Day of this newly begun year. And then we have many reasons to acknowledge thee, that in the midst of the trials of life, that already in the first days of the year, then thou hast showered us with so many blessings, they are countless, and the solemnest of old has declared that they could not be numbered. And so it is with us and our children, that in the week gone by, then thou wast graciously watched over us in the home, on the way at work, wherever we are called to be. And then in the cold of the winter weather, then thou granteth yet a warm dwelling to dwell in, and also a warm church, where we may gather to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Then by renewal we commend the family circle unto thee, who have lost their house with their possessions by the way of fire, and where they shall be confronted with that loss every day by renewal. Wilt thou spare from rebellious thoughts? Wilt thou grant a heart to acknowledge thee that they have all been spared? And, Lord, wilt thou grant thy help and courage to continue, and that this calling, that it may come out of thy right hand, that it may be used by thy Holy Spirit, that by thy grace, that they truly may become concerned for their eternal home, a world we are all traveling, hastening through this time to an eternity where there shall be a beginning and where there shall never be an end. And, oh Lord, then there are only two ways, two peoples, and two eternal destinations. To that end, may it please Thee in this morning, when we may come to the ninth day of the newly begun year, oh, such a preaching to us as these first 9 days have swiftly run its course, so it shall be fulfilled what Moses, the man of God, has declared, that we fly away, and now Thou granteth this precious time of grace, that we may be given to seek and find Thee. And then we do well also on the second Sabbath day of this newly begun year to examine our hearts, to examine our lives, how we have spent our strength and our time the first days of this year. Then our duties are manifold in so many ways, but, oh Lord, do impress it upon all of our hearts to first seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And then Thou was promised that all other things shall be added to it. We humbly ask Thee, and may it please Thee to bless Thy word, well, to cause the spirit of the wind of Thy Spirit to blow upon us and our children. Leave us not cold as it is in the realm of nature, but that in this morning and in this day, that our hearts may be renewed, that they may be touched. To that end, may it please Thee to convert what is unconverted, when there is building upon sandy foundations, wilt Thou graciously uncover it, and do remember Thy children. And then in this morning hour, their office bears, who hope to be installed in their respective offices by renewal. And Lord, we humbly ask Thee, wilt Thou help them, wilt Thou remember them, may their eyes be upon Thee, who is sufficient unto these things. May they be given to need the great office bearer, Thy Son Jesus Christ, as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Lord, grant that close, that dependent, that tender life at the throne of grace. Wilt Thou teach them continually out of Thy word? Wilt Thou bind all the souls entrusted unto them continually upon their hearts? May they be given to cry unto Thee, that Thou may help them to be faithful, but also to be fruitful, that it may please Thee in this newly begun year, that it may be a year of Thy sovereign good pleasure, that there may be a rich ingathering among young and old, and that Thy people may experience a special and a good year for their souls, to be instructed further in the mysteries of salvation. Lord, when they become discouraged, may they come on their knees, may they tell Thee all, and may Thou be their refuge. And, oh Lord, wilt Thou grant in the midst of the congregation not only the brothers to be reinstalled, but the whole consistory, that they may be carried upon the wings of prayer and be given to humbly beg of thee, that the manifold labors, when thy holy word may be sown, that it may be blessed indeed. Lord, then we remember all the special needs. Then we commend unto thee the father still in the hospital, two surgeries unsuccessful, Lord. May he, together with his dear wife, the family circle, may they be given to mightily cry unto thee, that thou may help the physicians, and above all, Lord, then in these circumstances, then thou wert speaking in a special way, my son, give me thy heart, thou knowest there are none that are able, none that are willing, and to that end, Lord, may it please thee by thy grace to take possession of his heart, and then he shall willingly give it to thee, and ask with the soul of old Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Wilt thou remember the mother that may return from the hospital after heart surgery? Then thou wast spared, thou wast cared, thou wast helped, may return to her dwelling, wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart, and that it may be for a purpose, and that is the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name, Lord. Wilt thou remember all the sick, all the afflicted, all under the physician's care, with the dreaded disease, other fears, other concerns, remember the handicapped ones, then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, Lord. Wilt thou remember each and every one, remember the family circles, where those places remain so empty, may they all be sanctified. Remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Wilt thou grant some simple words to speak? May thy word go forth with power divine. Grant a good and special, could it be, an unforgettable service, and Lord. Then also on the second Lord's Day of this newly begun year, then there are many sins, thoughts, words, deeds that need to be pardoned. May that be or become our burden, and may there be no rest till they may be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in thy infinite purity and holiness we may be white as snow, Lord. May then it be a service for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 45, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. Now the king in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, the request of a suppliant voice, and what follows. Psalter 45, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 2 Kings 13, the verses 14 through 19. And we shall read verse 14. And now Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Our text words speak of King Joash at the deathbed of the prophet Elisha. Three thoughts in the first place. The profound confession by the king. Secondly, the great encouragement for the king. And thirdly, the serious reprimand for the king. King Joash at the deathbed of the prophet Elijah. The profound confession, the great encouragement, and the serious reprimand for the king. This first, the profound confession by the king. Beloved hearers, and this morning, a few thoughts concerning Joash, the 12th king of Israel of the fifth destiny. Because we know that concerning the kings of Judah, I think boys and girls, you know it, that they were all from the house of David. But concerning the kings of Israel, then there were nine families, and King Joash was of the fifth. His grandfather was King Jehu. And now in this chapter, then we read of different names of different kings. That can seem very confusing. Because in the verses 10 through 12, then we also read of a King Joash, that he was king of Judah, that was the king who as a little boy of 1 year old has been spared from the murder of Athaliah, and that has become king when he was 7 years old. Then in this chapter, then our King Joash, the king of Israel, seems to be an abbreviated form of Jehoash. Thus two names for the same king. The first nine verses, they concern the son of Jehu, and the father of King Joash. It was a time of much distress, because already in the time of King Jehu, then the Syrians have invaded much of the land and caused many a difficulty. And in the reign, we have heard it out of the first verses, then in the reign of his father Jehoahaz, then the Syrians have even come to the west of the Jordan and left but few horses and a few chariots. But then we have also heard that this king has besought the Lord. He was an unconverted king, And it is written, and the Lord hearkened unto him. Thus a clear proof that the Lord also hears the prayer of the unconverted, and that the Lord has given a Savior. And now concerning our text words, then King Joash, the kings of Israel, even King Jehu, he has cut off the house of Ahab according to God's word. And then the Baal worship was destroyed, but the golden calves of Bethel and Dan, they were still left to stand. And that was the sin continually of the kings and the children of Israel, those golden calves. Thus, what a warning for us and our children concerning the sins of the time. And because of those golden calves, the anger of the Lord was kindled against those kings. Oh, it is possible that there were certain kings that knew that it was so wrong, so God dishonoring, but no courage to address the sin. And now in our text words, then King Joash, then he has heard that the old prophet Elisha was sick, very sick. He was very old for 45 years. We do not read in the scriptures anything recorded of that prophet. It is believed at least 90, some even think, a possible 100 years. And now when this King Joash has heard that the prophet was sick, oh, it is true. He did not totally obey the prophet, because the golden calves, have you heard it, congregation, also in this chapter, the sin of Jeroboam, which made the children of Israel to sin. But now when he heard that the old prophet was very sick, likely on his deathbed, then that King Joash, he has hastened to his dwelling. And then we read that he has wept over that prophet. Oh, undoubtedly, then he was given to realize that he has not appreciated the prophet while he was in the land of the living, a speaking conscience, that he has not hearkened to the voice of the prophet when he was given to speak in the name of the Lord. And now with a troubled conscience, with many tears, then he has wept over the prophet and said the same words that he has said when the master of Elisha was taken away. Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Then the king was not too proud to go to the prophet and to weep. Then the king, then he was given to acknowledge that the prophet, that he was a representative of the Lord. Then the king knew in former days, think of 1 Kings 3, where the prophet has been used in a special way to deliver those three kings, namely of Israel, of Judah, and of Edom, when there was no water, that the Lord has granted a deliverance. And now we read further. Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And then we read that that old prophet, in his old age, on his deathbed, that he may be exercised with the welfare of his nation. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when it may be granted to the people of God that in their old age that they may be exercised with the things of the Lord. No, then we do not read that the prophet Elisha was filled with the fear of death, but he was exercised with an earnestness and with a zeal, with an eye upon the glory of God and the coming of his kingdom, that he was given to speak of things to come. And to that end, our second thought, the great encouragement for the king. And then we read that Elisha, and Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Thus, boys and girls, you can picture it. The prophet has told the king to take his bow and an arrow. And then the prophet was given to put his hands upon the hands of the king. What does that now mean? Then the prophet Elijah, as a representative of the Lord, then he was given to declare that without the Lord, the king could do nothing. Psalm 127, the verses 1 and 2, except the Lord build the city, the watchman watcheth, waketh but in vain, and except the Lord build, keep the city and build the city, so dependent upon the hand of the Lord. Is that also our picture, congregation? Are we also dependent upon the Lord? Or do we only need the Lord when we run stuck, if I may say it so? Our own strength when we are healthy and strong. Children, when you hope to go to school again. Mothers at home. Fathers at work. Or already in the first days of this newly begun year, that we receive an impression how dependent that we are upon the Lord for all things. That is what the prophet is trying to teach the king, that he needed the Lord also in the warfare against the enemies. And then we read, and he said, open the windows eastward, and he opened it. Have you heard it, congregation? When we read this chapter, may be a little amazed. Each command that the dying prophet gave to the king, no questions, no reasoning, but immediate obedience. May that also be our picture in this year. To the word of God, to those that are set over us. And now that window in the time of the king and the prophet, they did not of glass, but of lattice. Thus the window was opened, and then the arrow must be shot eastward. That is the vicinity of Syria. Of course, Syria and Damascus, that was more northeastward. But the enemy, the Syrians, they have conquered also all the land east of the Jordan. Thus it was an arrow toward the enemies. And then that arrow was shot. And then the prophet has declared an arrow of the Lord's deliverance. We read in Psalm 45, verse 5, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. An arrow shot in dependency upon the Lord with unceasing prayer. And now in this morning, when we are speaking of the king, the prophet, and that arrow, then boys and girls, then you think of the office bearers that hope to be installed, and that is good. But when we consider our text words, then we do well to bring that message all home to our heart. What an instruction for fathers and for mothers in the midst of the family circle. But now concerning that arrow, and out of Psalm 45, then it points not only to an arrow of destruction, but that is also an arrow which the Lord shoots and may be accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is an arrow of love, and that is an arrow of conviction. And those arrows are so sharp. Thus that arrow that may point to the Word of God in Hebrews 4, verse 12, it speaks of a sharp sword. And now those arrows, it is the duty and the calling that the Word of God may be brought, that the seed of God's Word may be sown. But the blessing is the Lord's, because Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, the verses 6 and 7, it is Paul that planteth, and Apollos that watereth, but it is the Lord that giveth the increase. And that is now implied when we consider the prophet Elijah and the king Joash, when that arrow was shot into the territory of the enemies. Then it is necessary that we know those enemies. I read of the tribe of Issachar that they were men that had understanding of the times. Oh, when that arrow was shot to the east, then it was in the territory of the enemies. Our third thought, the serious reprimand for the king. Then it is clear that the victory was promised. But now further to test the king. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, a smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. With that arrow, then that had a purpose, a place. Our boys and girls can understand it. When the king shot that arrow out of the window, that was to the land of the enemies. But now for the king, now he was asked to take the remaining arrows and to smite them upon the ground. Perhaps for the king, he thought it was a sort of useless and not a purpose. And to that end, in the way of duty, he is stopped after three times. And then we read that the prophet does not say the prophet, does not say Elisha, and the man of God was wroth. Then we also see in this verse that there is also a holy anger. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ when two times, when he was given to see that his father's house was a house of merchandise. And in Mark 3 verse 5, we also read of Christ, and when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. And in Ephesians 4 verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. It would be a privilege and a blessing if there was more of that holy anger concerning the things of the Lord, because we live in a time when it seems more important to be politically correct, where relationships are more important than the truth according to God's holy word. Oh, we read of that old Elisha, sick on his deathbed, the sickness whereof he has died, but that he was filled with such a zeal and such a love for even the children of Israel, where those golden calves were still standing, when he was given to see that the king has smitten three times, and then he has stopped, then he was filled with a holy wrath, and he said to the king, thou should have smitten five or six times. And now, when we speak of these things, and a minister speaks of these things, then he also speaks unto himself, because what is implied in that smiting only three times? Then in the first place, then it concerns a faith to believe the promise of the Lord, which he has given to the king, that it was the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Then in the second place, it concerns a vision. Oh, for that king, as we have said, then he did not see so much purpose in smiting the ground. Oh, what an instruction also for office bearers, not only to receive help and to fulfill our duty, but a vision, and upon the promises of the Lord that he has promised in Isaiah 55 verse 11, that his word shall not return void unto him. Then in the next place, oh, does it not speak concerning that king a lack of zeal for the things of the Lord? Not as I find in Psalm 69 verse 9, where it is written, also referring to Christ, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Oh, the lack of zeal, the lack of love for lost souls. Oh, a lack of courage. When we read of missionaries, when we read of reformers, so many in former days, what a battles they have fought, what an impossibilities, what a discouragements, and yet they were keeping to smite with an eye upon the Lord, that it was not their cause, but that it was the Lord's cause. It was his glory and his kingdom. Oh, we could mention many. Let us mention William Carey. Do you know who that is, boys and girls? Young people, do you know who William Carey is? Then you have something to read. In 1792, in Nottingham, the last days of May, he was called to preach to different people, to ministers, concerning mission work. And then he has preached out of Isaiah 54, the verses 2 and 3, concerning the enlargement of the tent and putting those stakes wider. Thus not only the established churches, but also mission work. And then for his theme, he said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Maybe we think in the year 2022, is that not too great? But I read in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thus, a smitten three times. Then we could speak also about the mortification of the old man, this congregation of Lethbridge. Much simple instruction for all of us as we have begun the new year. Oh, the profound confession. Do we appreciate our blessings as we ought to be? Is there one that can raise their hand in this morning? Even the first 8 and part of this Sabbath day, have there been those that have truly become small? Were you given, Psalm 2, verse 11 and 12, to serve the Lord with fear, to rejoice with trembling, to kiss the Son, lest the was anger kindled but a little, and ye perish from the way, and blessed are all they that trust in the Lord. Concerning our labors, concerning the means of grace, they are as arrows. Do we believe that they can and shall be used? Fathers and mothers, then we do well to read from the canons of Dort, the 3rd and 4th head of doctrine, the 17th article. Fathers, then you have something to read to your families and to speak about. That the Lord has promised that his word shall not return void. And then the 3rd thought, a serious reprimand necessary for all of us. And we live in serious dark times, discouraging times, but may our eyes be upon him. And now the Wonder Congregation, there has been one, not like King Joash, that has only partly finished his work. Oh, already in eternity he was so willing. That is that blessed Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. And in John 4, verse 34, where it was his will to finish the work of his Father. Oh, in the high priestly prayer. John 17, verse 5, verse 4. I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. When the cross was before him, he did not ask for 12 legions of angels that he may be delivered. No, he has continued. He has hung on the cross. He has cried out, it is finished. And now in the state of exaltation, then he continues that work. And when those arrows may be sent out, may the Lord direct many arrows at the hearts of our boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that they may be wounded, that they may become a sire, and that the need may be born for him who has perfectly finished his work. Amen. A Psalter 12, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O Lord, rebuke me not in anger, chase and sore I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me, Lord. How long wilt thou delay? And what follows? Psalter 12, 1, 3, and 4. We shall now read the form of installation of elders and deacons, which you can find on page 145 in the Old Psalter and page 149 in the New. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who were chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be installed in their respective offices. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their installation. But first, you who are to be installed and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who was placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church. The former were of that labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church. 1 Corinthians 12. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them. As in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priest in the service of the tabernacle and those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all, and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church, out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is together with the ministers of the word to take the oversight of the church, which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church. as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ, but those who were lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance. Therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and on all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice, to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read in Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet were brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose, because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence to alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors, that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9. for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. We now ask the brothers to be installed to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, for Elder Mr. Gerard Clark, and for deacons Mr. Henry Becker, Mr. Elidus Alex van der Breinhost, and Mr. Dirk Vossebelt, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacons, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church and consequently of God himself to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine faithfully, according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices as they are here described, ye elders in the government of the church together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration to the poor, do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation and for Elder Mr. Gerard Clark? And for deacons, Mr. Henry Becker and Mr. Elidus Alex van der Breinhost and Mr. Dirk Vossebelt. The Almighty God and Father replenish you all with his grace, that ye may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Brothers, we have already heard much out of 2 Kings 13 that in a special way applies to office bearers. Then we are called upon to take that arrow, and that is the holy word of God, that that word may be brought in the midst of the congregation among young and old. And then it is so necessary concerning that arrow. We can many times be so busy how it shall go. Not wrong, of course. And may you as office bearers, together with the whole consistory, with your manifold duties and labors, when you take that bow and arrow, that you may feel more and more insufficient of ourselves, and that we need the Lord's help continually, and that those arrows, that they may be accompanied by much and unceasing prayer with an eye upon the Lord, that it may be arrows for the Lord's glory. And then we have heard from King Joash concerning the shooting of that arrow, that it was in the country of the enemy. And now through our deep fallen Adam, we have all become enemies of the Lord of grace and of his dear Son. And when it has become different, then it is only by the grace of God. Thus those arrows, they must be shot in the territory of fallen sons and daughters of Adam, but also where the Lord has begun to work, that they may be arrows of comfort, encouragement, consolation, and also when necessary, correction. In that respect, we have become so introvert. And as a consistory, when you have so many souls, there is much labor to do. But the church also has a calling in the midst of the community and in the midst of our society and country. Then we have heard of that arrow, that it was shot to a special place. Of course, when the word is read, when it is brought, the Lord directs everything. We need to pray, that the Lord may send those arrows in many hearts of young and old. But now with Joash, there was a vision I read in Proverbs 19, verse 18, where there is no vision, then the people perish. And now concerning that smiting, I have said already this morning, I include myself, how discouraged we can become, especially in the days that we live, and that we resemble that King Joash so much. Oh, concerning our zeal, concerning our love for souls, perseverance can be times that we are ready to give up. But then the reprimand, that we must continue to smite, to sow the word, the seed of God's word. And the Lord has promised, because with Joash he had a promise of the Lord's deliverance. Lord has also promised that our labors we read thereof in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, that it shall not be in vain. And now who is sufficient unto these things and to that end? Then we need that great office bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as prophet to instruct us, because we need spiritual income to give it out. We need him as that priest, because for office bearers, not only personal guilt, but also official guilt needs to be washed in that precious blood. And we need him as king. When it pleases the Lord to use us, then we shall experience in special ways the power and the assaults of the devil. Then in the benediction, there are three special words. And may they be bound upon your heart. Then first, replenish you after each time we smite. Then we need to be replenished. Then the second word, that is to be faithful. Much prayer. Unceasing prayer is so necessary. And the third word, not only to be faithful, that we may perform our duties, but fruitful. May the Lord grant in this year that it may indeed be a fruitful year in the midst of the congregation. Ah, that you may hear of boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and older ones, where that arrow was penetrated into their heart, cannot pull that arrow out, only goes deeper and deeper. But also concerning the further leadings in the life of the people of God. Congregation of Lethbridge, then by renewal, installation of office bearers. Does not please the Lord to use the holy angels, but sinful men. And now we have heard of a Jewish, we do not read that he has so much appreciated the prophet Elisha until the time that the Lord was ready to take him into glory. Thus that already has much instruction. And let us remember in the parable of the fig tree in Luke 13, the verses 6 through 9, there was a certain man that had a vineyard, planted a fig tree in the midst thereof. And that owner of the vineyard, he said he came to look on fruit. It's also in this year, on this Lord's Day. And when he did not even find a little fruit, he said that the tree must be cut down. But then it was the dresser that is asked whether he could dig about it and dung it one more year. And then that owner said, let it stand for one more year. And then in the second place, we have heard in this morning of arrows. And now it is so necessary that we place ourselves faithfully under the means of grace. And that is especially in the house of God, where the Lord many times uses those arrows, and that sinners may be converted, and his people may be instructed, encouraged, comforted, and led further in the mysteries of salvation. And then we have heard it in this morning hour that several times in 2 Kings 13, the sin of Jeroboam was mentioned, which caused Israel to sin. And it was a destruction, because first we have King Jehu, then Joash, Jeroboam the second, who reigned 41 years, outwardly prosperous. And then finally, as was told to Jehu, that his family would sit on the throne to four generations. King Zechariah, who was assassinated, after a 6 months' reign. Thus that sin of Jeroboam, what a consequences that had for the upcoming generations. It was fulfilled also in the reign of King Jehu, what we have heard out of the second commandment visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Fathers and mothers, what a responsibility that we have concerning our children, also concerning the sins of the time. And then further, then we read in the prayer, which we soon hope to pray, preserve them in their faithful labor, that they never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. May it not be trouble and persecution in the midst of the church. Because I read in Hebrews 13 verse 7, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it by joy and not with grief. And then what is now necessary for your consistory? What do you think, boys and girls? What am I going to say now? What does your consistory need? Prayer. Aaron's and hers. Even by our boys and girls, that they may be faithful according to the full word of God, faithful watchmen, given to warn, to reprove, led into the mysteries of salvation, to be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. We call them, boys and girls, Aaron's and hers, as we read in Exodus 17, when the hands of Moses became tired, that they have held them up. Thus, each and every one has a part. Could perhaps even compare a congregation to a large gearbox. You know what that is, boys and girls? A gearbox. That is with all gears. Big gears, little ones, and they all run together. And they all need to be bathed in much love, much compassion, and much prayer. And then they all must turn together. Just something to think about. Thus, the great responsibility. And finally, a word to the families of consistory members, their wives, their children. Many nights, even days, different circumstances that they are called to spend alone without a husband, head of the household. Thus, may we be given to think of these things, and that we make it not difficult, but that we try to make it easy for them. May it please the Lord to bless the manifold means of grace. The Lord grant His blessing, and for the families of consistory members, His reward. We now ask the congregation to arise and to sing unto them Psalter 436, the stanzas 1 and 3. Praise, praise ye all the Lord of lords. All ye His servants, bless His name. and what follows, 436, 1 and 3, standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans, show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit, and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them, and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that is stolen, or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, as shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But, as since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord, saying, O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of the church to ordain in it beside the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope, endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may, in his respective office, acquit himself as is becoming the elders, and take in diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word, give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortation of the elders, accounting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also their rich liberal hearts toward the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts toward those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 218, the stanzas 1 and 6. O Thou great Shepherd of Thy chosen race, O leadest like a flock Thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal Thy face, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce, the Lord willing, that we remind the young adults of the Bible study evening on Thursday, January 13 at 7:30 p.m. in the meeting room. And we remind the 18-plus students that catechism instruction resumes after the service this morning. And for the catechism and confession of faith students, classes resume tomorrow evening. Psalter 218, the stanzas 1 and 6. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.